Somebody touch me, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me, it must have been the hand of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to say thank you this evening, Lord. Just like the songwriter wrote, glory, somebody touched me, Lord. Amen. Father, we know we've been touched, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, it was the touch of the Master that made the difference in our lives, Lord Jesus, that created the value that we are today, Father, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Father, for the week, Lord, how it has been glorious, oh God. Father, Lord Jesus, from Sunday down to this time, oh God, you've been with us, Lord. You've kept us away from evil, Lord Jesus Christ. You've protected us, Lord. You've forgiven us, oh God. You've granted us mercies that are new every morning, Lord. We just come to say thank you, Father, Lord God. If it has not been for the law that is on our side, oh God, what can we say, oh God? All the plans of the evil one, Lord Jesus Christ, it never came to pass, oh God, because you were there, oh God, all the time, oh Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, we commit this day into your hands. We commit this service into your hands, Lord. We are hungry, Lord Jesus Christ, not of the things of the world, Lord Jesus, but to hear your living word, oh God. Just one word from you, Lord, will, oh God, bring to pass all we need, oh Father. Lord, we commit this service into your hands. We commit the people. Lord, we commit the preacher, oh God, this day. Lord, may you move him, oh God, like never before, Lord Jesus Christ. May it not be like every other, oh God, Friday, Lord. We know every Friday is unique, but Lord, this Friday, may you take us higher, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. May you bless us, oh Father, Lord. Bless the singing, Lord. Bless the technical instruments, Lord. Bless the technicians at the back, Lord. Father, may everything work well, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We bless your holy name, for in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
Come into this house, gathered in his name to worship Jesus.
We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship Christ alone. Oh, worship him, Christ.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. We didn't do justice on it.
Oh, we have come into his house,
Lord,
gathered in his name to worship.
We've come.
We have come into his house. We've gathered in his name to worship.
Oh, we've come. To worship you,
we have come into this house,
and we gathered in his name
to worship Christ our Lord.
Oh,
we worship him,
Christ our Lord. Now a very important part. Just
forget about
yourself
and concentrate
on him and worship.
Forget.
Just forget about yourself.
Just concentrate on him and worship.
Let's give him all the worship he deserves.
Just forget about yourself
and concentrate on him and worship Christ our Lord.
Oh, worship him, Christ our Lord.
Let's lift up those holy hands.
Let us lift up holy hands.
Magnify his name and worship.
Oh, we live for the Lord. We live the holy hands. Let us lift up holy hands. Magnify his name and we worship him.
We worship you, Jesus.
Holy. Let us lift up holy hands.
Let's magnify his name
and worship Christ alone. Oh, worship him, Christ our Lord.
One more time. We have come into this house tonight, Father, to worship you, Lord.
We have come into this house, gathered in his name to worship him.
Oh, we worship you, Lord.
We have come into this house,
we gathered
in his name to worship.
We worship you, Lord Jesus.
We have come into this house, gathered in his name, and we worship Christ our Lord.
Oh,
worship him, Christ our Lord.
Let's sing that. What a fellowship, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Hallelujah. Against the weather, against the storm, against all the circumstances, Lord, I bring my heart to you this night so I can worship you, Lord. If my brother doesn't want to worship, I want to worship for his part, that at the end of the service, he will be in that same atmosphere that I'm in, right? Let's sing that. What a fellowship
and work,
a joy divine,
holy,
leaning, Lord,
on the everlasting
arms. What a blessedness,
what a joy is my
leaning, Lord,
on the everlasting arms.
I'm leaning,
leaning
on Jesus.
Leaning, oh, safe and secure from all alarms. And leaning,
I'm leaning,
leaning, oh, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. The everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path it grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning on Jesus,
leaning
on Jesus.
Oh,
yes.
I'm safe and secure
from
all alarms. What have I to dread?
What have I to fear?
Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near.
Leaning on the everlasting
arms,
leaning on Jesus,
I'm leaning, I'm safe. And
secure
from all alarms.
I'm leaning,
oh, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Isn't he wonderful,
wonderful,
wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, yes.
Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word.
Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Isn't he?
Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful.
Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Eyes have seen,
eyes have seen, ears have heard
what's recorded in God's word.
Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful,
wonderful, wonderful, oh,
wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, a mighty God is he. He's saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer,
praise one more time. Wonderful,
wonderful, wonderful, oh,
Jesus is to me.
Counselor and Prince of Peace, a mighty God is he. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Amen. When we all get to heaven, you see, hallelujah, we weren't feeling good. Now we feel good. Now we're ready to start. The angels are revved. Hallelujah. The angels are excited. Amen. Let's carry on.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Oh,
sing his mercy and his grace in that mansion bright and blessed. He prepared for us a place
when we all
get to heaven.
What a day
of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout the victory while we walk this pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign.
When we all,
when we all get to heaven, what a day,
what a day
that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout the victory.
Let us then
be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay.
When we all,
when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory.
Oh, onward now,
onward to the prize before us. Soon,
soon its beauty will be
old. Oh, soon the pearly gates will open. Streets of gold.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing
that will be.
Oh,
when we all see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing
that will be
when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout the victory
when we all
get to heaven.
What a day
of rejoicing
that will be
when we all we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
Thank you, Lord. That
saves the wretch like me.
I'm singing about myself, a wretch I was.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Twas grace
that taught my heart to fear.
Oh,
and grace my fears relieved.
Hallelujah!
Our precious dead, that grace appeared.
Oh, the hour that I first
Thanksgiving, thanking the Lord for making my MasterCard project a huge success and giving me the grace to submit a patent here, bro. Is that right?
Yes.
An idea for patent. I asked the pastor to pray before the start of the project, and I'm glad.
Okay. May the Lord be praised.
Amen. That's like Daniel in the book of Revelation.
Maybe that one's better, yeah.
Amen.
It's like Daniel in the book of Daniel when the Lord gave him favor. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's the same thing, bro. When the sun of prosperity is in the life of a person, God will always bless them. So we thank the Lord for that. So, bro, Faithful also, he's leaving for America on Sunday morning, I think. Is that right? But yes. He's asking for God's grace, protection, and prosperity as I go to the United States for research internship at the Artificial Intelligence Lab of Rochester Institute of Technology. Praying for God to prosper my way, grant me great connections, ideas, and opportunities that will benefit me and his kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. That's really a good thing.
Amen.
Amen. Artificial intelligence. People are saying it's the mark of the beast and all this, and the Lord has got our brother in the center of it. Brother Clayton is giving a Thanksgiving. I'd like to thank God for giving me a place to study mental health nursing at Trinity College in Dublin. So Amen. Let's open our Bible, saints. Psalm 66. God bless you this evening. Thank you for your prayers while we're away. Amen. It's good to be back. It never rained while we were there. We never saw hardly a cloud. And then you come back to Ireland again. Psalm 66, verse 19. Let's get a thought from here concerning prayer this evening before we come to the Lord. So God bless each and every one. Anybody watching online, people that are at home, may the Lord bless you as well. This is David, what he says in verse 19, Psalm 66. Let's read from 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Amen. That's going to be our thought this evening, is the voice of your prayer. Amen. So we like to speak of the characteristics of true prayer. What is real prayer? So let's read another verse as well. Let's read Psalm 28, verse 2. There's lots of them in the Psalms. We'll just read two of them, but Psalm 28, verse 2. Psalm 28, verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. So speaking of the voice of his supplications, that's what we desire. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that your word is such a lamp unto our feet. It's manna to our souls, Lord. It's a compass to keep us on track. Father, it's a quickening force, Lord, to quicken us from all our temptations. Lord, it's everything that we need because you and the word are one. So, Father, may you bless us as we commune around your word. And what we're desiring is that you'd help us as we come to pray. Praying for our brother, there's your travel on Sunday, your special blessing upon him. Thinking of Brother Nat, his wedding tomorrow. Praying your blessing richly that all will be well. Bless everyone. In divine presence, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, saints. God bless. Is that Laura? God bless you. Amen. Amen. So, saints, we're looking. Which one's working? This one here, yeah? Let's have a look at just this thought. We'd like to take a thought, start off a little bit just for people that are pretty much new in the faith. Because the big question that people many times say is, I can't pray. You find people don't come for prayer meeting and that because they feel that they can't pray. Or I don't know how to pray. And where the problem comes in is the big mistake we make is in comparisons in prayer. Amen. We start comparing our prayer with somebody else's prayer. Mm-hmm. And it can be a very, very discouraging thing, especially for young believers. Because we start setting all these standards for prayer, which we think make real prayer. So if somebody prays a long prayer next to us, we think that we've got to pray long prayer. You see, so that's how we're comparing our prayers. I can't pray. Why can't you pray? Because Brother George next to me prays for 20 minutes, but I can only pray for 3. And we think now that we're not praying. Or the second thing is we think the volume of prayer is very important. You know, I can't pray loud like Brother Faithful does. I can't pray loud like Brother Wilmore. I don't think that God can hear my prayer. Or the fervency of your prayer. You know, me, I pray. I can't say words as fast as some of these people pray. So I don't really think that I'm praying very well. Or maybe the eloquence of your prayer. I don't know all the scriptures that people are quoting. And I don't know all these things that I'm supposed to say to the Lord. And somehow now we've made all of these things combined into what prayer really is. But if you look at it scripturally, what does God really say about prayer? Now, what is God's standard of prayer? If we want to know if we're praying true prayer, what are the characteristics of true prayer? Or those characteristics, because we want to make sure that we're meeting the standard. You know, so we want to make that. What really constitutes true prayer in the Bible? Because God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And it's very easy for us to build up inside of our minds these comparisons and judge ourselves against standards that maybe not such a scriptural standard. You know, it's like a young lamb. Imagine a young lamb in a flock. And all it can do is just bleat a little bit, just an eh, 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 eh.
Yeah, and then there's a big ram, you know, it's dad and the camera, yeah? And the little lamb is thinking, but I don't think the shepherd's ever going to be able to hear me because my bleat is so, so small. But it's nothing to do with it because you find that the shepherd, any good shepherd, what he's going to feel, he's going to hear what? The bleat of the young lamb first before he hears the noise of the big ram. There's just something inside of a shepherd, or like a baby, you know, a mother's in the home and she's got a teenage boy and the teenage boy calls him, mommy. And at the same time, this little baby that can hardly even speak, just going, crying like that. Which one is the one that gets the heart of the mother going? It's the simple one. It's the cry of the young one. Now the mom, the Lord says, can a mother forget her sucking child? But he says, I cannot forget you. And it's even in the hormones of a mother. When a mother hears the cry of a baby, something happens within the chemistry of her body that she's moved. She can't just stay without moving to help that young one. So now you can really, really see that if you look in nature, it's not so much the volume, it's not so much the intensity, it's not so much the all these other characteristics that nature responds to, but there's just certain characteristics that maybe would be important if we take it into prayer. And we want to be careful because we don't want to be discouraged. Because it's very easy. When you start praying, you're a young believer, you've just come to the Lord, you start praying, it's very easy to compare yourself with other people and you can be very discouraged. You say, I don't think I'm even praying. I don't think God hears my prayer. No, you hear your dad praying in the bedroom. He gets up in the morning, or you hear your mom praying, or you know, you stay with somebody who's an older believer. And they pray like a shotgun and they can go on for long periods of time. And you're just looking at your little slingshot prayer, you know, when you're getting up in the morning. But friends, God hears every one of those prayers. Because the Bible says, what does David say here? We've just read the scripture in Psalm 66 that it says, he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Amen. So there's the voice of prayer. That's what God listens to. God doesn't really listen to your words very much in prayer. Now, the words of what you say are not the most important things in prayer. Amen. Because the Lord, when he came to the house of Jesse, and they brought the big boy before him and brought the other ones before him. What did the Lord say? He says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Amen. So it's the same as in prayer. God doesn't look on the outward appearance of our prayer. Because some people can make great, great, big outward appearance of prayer. And the Lord says, this people draw near unto me at their lips, but their heart is far removed from me. So God looks at the heart of your prayer. So even when you don't exactly know what to say, but you have an earnest desire and you're approaching the Lord with a burden inside of your heart and you can't find the words to say, God hears the voice of your prayer. God hears the real what's inside of your heart. You may be so troubled in your prayer that you're not even able to express the right words that you want to say. That's how Paul says sometimes it's just in groanings. You know, if you go and groan and sigh before the Lord, God doesn't hear that as a groan or a sigh. God looks at the voice of that sigh. Amen. God looks at the voice, and you'll say, where do you get that from in the Bible? Have a look in Psalm 102, verse 5. Amen. Look what David says about the Lord and his prayers. Psalm 102, verse 5. It says, by reason of the voice of my groaning. You know, there's the voice of your groaning. There's the voice. You'll find it in the Bible. It speaks of the voice of my prayer. It says, hearken, Lord, to the voice of my cry. The Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Hear the voice of my supplications. The voice of my groaning. In Lamentations, verse 3, hide not thy ear from my breathing. You know, so he was just breathing his prayer. Jeremiah, but God hears the voice that goes behind those things. So God looks at the heart. Amen. So when you are praying, the real prayer comes from your heart. It's what's being said inside of your heart. So we can really see that the conditions of true prayer, it's not the words that we say. You know, it's not. But there's two things that normally go with it. It's your earnestness. It's your sincerity. Amen. As you're approaching the Lord. It's the simplicity of your faith. Because if you don't approach the Lord with faith, God can't hear your prayer. If you don't believe God is real, but if you're coming before the Lord and you're groaning and you're sighing before the Lord and you're just pouring out your heart before the Lord, other people might listen and say, but hey, What kind of prayer is that? And God is saying amen to your prayer. Amen. Because God hears the voice of your prayer. No, there's like this heart's cry that you hear about. That's what God is looking at. It's your heart's cry.
Amen.
What is the real earnestness inside of you? Amen. We know the prophet speaks of the inside of the inside. Amen. That there's something beyond your reasoning. There's something beyond human understanding. There's something beyond your human mind. And that's inside of your heart.
Amen.
And that's the thing that can be so burdensome sometimes until you can't even find the words to express it. And you'll go for prayer and you can't find the words to express what you're feeling. And you will say, I never prayed properly. And God's saying, you did pray properly, because I don't look at the outward, but the Lord looks on the heart.
Amen.
I see the desire of your heart. I hear the voice of your prayer. I hear the voice of your groaning. I hear the voice of your tears, the voice of your weeping. No, sometimes a person can just weep before the Lord and say nothing, and God will say, that was far better prayer than somebody prays for 30 minutes of prayer.
Amen.
Because it was from the person's heart. It was a genuine expression of somebody coming before the Lord, just genuinely from their heart. That's what prayer really is. It's the voice of your prayer that the Lord really, really hears. And it's that heart's cry. If you want the proof of what I'm saying, go and listen to the prayer lines. Go and see all those people sitting in those days when the pillar of fire would come down over the prophet. And then the prophet would be standing there, and somebody would just be sitting there, bowing their head, not saying a single word, just inside of their heart saying, Lord, get him to call out my name. And then the pillar of fire would respond, and the prophet would be praying for that lady, and now the pillar of fire would go over and hang over a person just because of their heart's cry. They never shouted or prayed loud, or, you know, they couldn't do it in that kind of a circumstance. There was just a heart's desire. There was just an earnestness and the simplicity of faith. And you find the pillar of fire was pulled straight to that person. And the prophet would say, who did she touch? She never touched me. She touched him. So that's what touches the Lord, is the earnestness of your heart. Is the sincerity of your heart. Now, that may be a long prayer, it may be a short prayer, it may be a loud prayer, it may be a whispered prayer, there may be no voice at all.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter where you pray it, how you pray it, as long as you're expressing what's inside of your heart. That's what constitutes true prayer. That's when somebody says, I can't pray. It's impossible that you can't pray.
Amen.
You know, if you're burdened in your heart, if the Lord has burdened you, if you're burdened by sin because you're a sinner, you can pray. Go and tell the Lord about your burden.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I'm burdened by my sin. I'm wanting forgiveness for my sin. Say what's inside of your heart.
Amen.
If you're a young believer and you're facing up to temptation and discouragement and stuff like that, you say, I don't know how to pray. Go and tell the Lord what's in your heart.
Amen.
Just go and speak, even if it's a groaning, even if it's a murmuring before the Lord. But if it's an expression from your heart, that is real prayer. That is what God pays attention to. That's like the mother when she hears in the middle of the night the little baby in the next room, and the baby just starts crying a little bit, and the mother knows the baby's not well. It wakes the mother up, and she gets out of bed, and she goes and gives full attention to the baby.
Amen.
It's just that cry. It's just the need moves the mother to come on the scene. And that's how it is with the Lord. Whenever he sees any of his children, when he sees any of his children, if you're a lamb, if you're a sheep, it doesn't matter. But when he sees your need and the genuine expression of your need, and you are raising your faith towards him, and somehow you want to express to him the need that's inside of your heart, it's impossible for God, because of his nature, not to be moved by your need.
Amen.
Not to come down and meet you at your point of need.
Amen.
That's why God hears every genuine prayer. He hears every earnest prayer. Any genuine prayer God has to answer, because it's his nature, because it calls him on the scene, just as much as we see it in the natural, even in our fallen condition. But Satan knows the power of prayer. So what does he do now? He wants to discourage us from prayer. So he tries to come to us, and he wants to make it that prayer can only be prayer when it's prayed in optimum conditions. Yeah, that's a real prayer. You know, we rarely prayed last night because the conditions were optimum. Sick. Imagine if you're feeling sick, you got a headache. You say, I don't think I'm going to be able to pray today because I've got a headache. What about Hezekiah at the point of death praying on his deathbed? You know, it doesn't matter how you feel, it's the expression of your heart.
You might say, I'm not going to be able to pray very loud today because if I move my head, it's so sore. It's not your head that should be praying. It's your heart that should be praying. Now, you can move your heart even if your head can't move. And when your heart is moved to speak to the Lord by about the burden of your situation, God's going to be moved to come on behalf on your behalf. You know, so it's so easy for us to look at these circumstances and say, I can't really pray. Or maybe you're in a train or you're in a bus or in an aeroplane or something and you're traveling and you really want to speak to the Lord and you're saying, but I can't pray aloud, Jim. I can't even go to the toilet and pray aloud. Who said you have to pray aloud? Yeah. You can be like Hannah. She prayed and there was no voice, only her lips moved. Yeah, and the Lord looked down and she gave her a Samuel, asked of God, because God heard the voice of her prayer. Because God saw the expression of the desire of her heart, that there was an earnestness, there was a, you know, there was a sincerity, there was a fervency inside of her heart. There was something she's trying to express before the Lord, and she had a faith to know where to take that burden. You know, so she took herself naturally to the door of the temple, but spiritually she brought herself to the right place. And she never even uttered a word. And I'm sure it didn't seem to have been such a long prayer. She just came before the Lord and she just spoke the burden of her heart before the Lord. And the Lord now responded to her prayer and the situation changed. That's why the Bible says prayer, when it's offered properly, it's a sweet fragrance before the Lord. And prayer, when offered properly, it's a voice that comes up before the Lord. Amen. And the Lord hearkens to the true voice of prayer. Amen. No matter what form of prayer you want to pray. You know, it's wonderful to pray long prayers. Because sometimes we've got to pray so that we can pray. Because you know, we can be so out of the spirit of prayer that we need to pray to bring us to the place that we can pray. Somebody once said that. He said, if you've lost your appetite and say, I don't want to eat, sometimes the best thing, go and start eating. And you get your appetite back again. It's like when you feel, I don't feel like praying. Go and start praying and you'll start feeling like you want to pray. You know, because your heart will start to express itself now. That something that's bottled up inside of you, that frustration, that you know, disappointment, that discouragement, that you know, that perplexity that you feel inside of your heart, it's looking for a way to express itself. The inner man is just longing for some way to express itself, and it wants to express itself before the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat is not a physical location. The mercy seat is not in this dimension that we live in. It's not the altar in church. It's not the altar in your home. It's not your secret closet. All those things are good. But the mercy seat, you can come to the mercy seat in any location, in any circumstance, in any situation that you are. That you can, because it's in another dimension. Amen. It's just you can touch him at any time if there's an earnestness inside of your heart. As long as you're not double-minded, as long as you don't have iniquity inside of your life, you can come before the Lord. And even if you do have iniquity, he'll still hear your prayer if you come with a voice asking for pardon. Amen. If you don't want iniquity anymore, Amen. If you're tired of living a life of hypocrisy, now the Lord's just saying, come and let us reason together. Amen. Let's talk about this. And you just come and speak honestly from your heart. Amen. And friends, it makes such a big difference, that cry from your heart. So, but Satan wants to try to make us look at the circumstances and make us feel, I don't have very much time today. I don't think I'm going to be able to pray for very long. Amen. Friends, Samson didn't have very much time when he was in that arena that day. Amen. But he prayed just a prayer to say, just one more time, Lord. Amen. If you'll strengthen me just once. And it brought the glory of God down and restored him in his spiritual life. Amen. It didn't take long. It wasn't a long prayer, but it was an earnest prayer. Amen. It was a fervent prayer. It was a sincere prayer. It was the heart's cry. Amen. It was something that was burdening him inside of his heart. Things may have led him up to that. All of his regrets while he's in the prison, his, you know, his thoughts of where he had gone wrong, thinking on his ways. But when everything came to a climax there in that arena, he didn't have to pray for long. Amen. It was just the cry of his heart, because he was a child of God. And every time there's a genuine cry from the heart of a child of God, God will respond every time. God cannot but respond to the cry of his children. Can you as a mother fail to respond to the cry of your baby? It's impossible. What kind of mother would you be? That's how the Bible says, if you being evil-minded as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will he give good gifts to them that ask him? You know, if I see my children that don't have food, I'll not eat food myself to give them my food.
That's a reflection of the fatherhood of God. Imagine we are just a teaspoon of the ocean. He's the fullness of that ocean. Imagine the fullness of divine fatherhood. And you tell me that God won't respond to your prayer. It's yes, we're trying to just make a form of prayer. And we think we've got to follow this and do this and copy other people. No, just speak from your heart. Just speak to the Lord from your heart. If you're burdened inside of God, you might not just be sickness. Might not be your bodily weakness. You might be having mind battles. It might be depression and oppression and all these kind of things. Well, you're never going to have a greater oppression than Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the more his depression came, the more that he prayed. That Jesus didn't have an optimum condition to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, now my soul is troubled nigh unto death. And being in an agony, the Bible says, but that didn't stop him from praying. Amen. He knew he needed to pray even more when he was in that situation. Amen. And what was his prayer? He was speaking from the anguish of his heart. Amen. He was speaking the desire of his heart. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then coming to his disciples and saying, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? For my soul is sorrowful nigh unto death. And friends, that touched heaven, and an angel came and strengthened him. Because he knew that he didn't have enough strength. He knew, I need the strength to be able to do your will. And he cried out. But imagine the anguish that he was in, sweating as it were great drops of blood. Friends, but you and I look and say, my mind's too distracted today. I can't even get my thoughts together. I can't pray. Well, you shouldn't be praying from your mind because your mind is fallen. You can still pray from your heart. Your heart can still express itself. You can still express a heart's cry despite the fact that your mind is giving you all sorts of problems. Go and give your soul an opportunity to speak to the Lord. And it's going to start resolving some of these situations inside of your mind. Start from the inside out. Start from your heart, and then it'll work out from there. But don't look at your situation, your circumstances, and say, you know, I'm just so depressed, I don't feel like praying. Well, friends, don't ever do that. That's just the devil trying to keep you from the greatest weapon put into the hands of man, which is prayer. That's just the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. That's just Ephesians chapter 6. You're on the battlefield. Welcome to the war. Amen. Now put on the whole armor of God. And what was the seventh item? Praying always with all supplication. Amen. That's what he put beyond the whole armor of God. Amen. You know, it's such an important thing, friends, because we are people of feelings. We give in to our feelings. Amen. Now you wake up in the morning, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. It's a time you need to read your Bible. Amen. When you get up in the morning, I don't feel like praying today. I think, no. How many times have you as a believer, especially the believers that have walked with the Lord for some time, you've gone to pray defeated, but you came back victorious. Amen. And you don't even know where that prayer came from. Amen. You don't know where that victory came from. It's because you allowed your heart to express itself to the Lord. Amen. And the Lord says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Amen. That's a promise from the Lord. We put it on the forum today that if you seek him, you'll find him. Amen. It's impossible for your heart to seek God. Now, Amen. If you try to seek God with your mind, I don't know what you're going to find. But if you allow your heart to seek his face, Amen. Allow your heart to express itself. Take your burdens, take your cares, take all these things and channel them in the right direction. Amen. And point them towards the throne of grace and come and pour out your soul before the Lord. Whether it's long, whether it's short, whether it's loud, whether it's quiet, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter in the eyes of God. Amen. He's looking beyond the outward and he sees what's inside of your heart. Amen. And prayer is an expression. It's the cry of the heart. Amen. And every single mortal being born of woman has the ability to cry to God from their heart. Amen. You might say, but my situation, I'm just so far gone. I don't have much time. Well, go and see the thief on the cross. Now, your situation is bad as the thief on the cross. Amen. He just had a few minutes of life left. Amen. Yeah, in that situation, imagine the circumstances he was in, hanging on a cross. But he could still cry out from his heart. Amen. It wasn't so much the words that he said to Jesus. That was an expression of what was inside of his heart. When remember me when you come into your kingdom. He had faith. And he told that other thief, leave this man alone. He's done nothing wrong. Amen. And friends, that heart's cry when Jesus was under the judgment of God. Yeah. Right, enduring the penalty of our sin, the heart's cry of that thief on the cross moved Jesus to give that man eternal life. Yeah. You say to them, verily I said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Yeah. Friends, I don't think any of us are in a situation as bad as that.
If anybody like the prophecies thinks of circumstance, what about Jonah? You and I don't have circumstances like Jonah. Imagine Jonah. There's never been a worse place for a person to pray. And more so that Jonah was out of the will of God. He was running from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
No, he had got himself big time out of the will of God. And now he finds himself, most people would have just given up.
Amen.
He just said, my sins have found me out. But there was something inside of the heart of Jonah.
Amen.
And he started to cry to the Lord. And he started to repent to the Lord. And then he says, salvation is of the Lord. Yeah, and then the Lord turned the situation around. And the big fish turned around and headed back towards Nineveh. Spat him out on the beach. And the man got himself back in the presence of God. I don't know how long his prayer was, how short. Doesn't even tell us too much about what he prayed. But he prayed from his heart. Though he was surrounded by negativity and circumstances. Though Satan was telling him, what's the point of praying? You're out of the will of God. That's the time you need to pray more than ever before. Because you're never going to get back in the will of God if you don't start praying. You've got to start getting your heart back in tune with him. Yeah, you got to start waging warfare against these things. Remember Abraham when he went and the Lord said, offer your sacrifice. And he went and laid all the sacrifice on the altar. And then the birds came down, the vultures. And he had to chase all of those fowls off of his sacrifice. There's times you've got to do that in prayer. Because these birds, these things come down in our minds and try to come and pollute our walk with God and our thoughts and our minds and our prayers. And it's only when you start getting earnest in prayer, an expression from your heart. What does it say? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
That's from your heart. That's not from your mind. He might be playing with your mind every day of the week. It's got nothing to do with it. That's the domain Satan has to attack us. But you just start getting things moving inside of your heart once again. And you're going to find things are going to start sorting themselves out inside of your mind. You're going to start driving those fowls off your sacrifice. You're going to start creating an atmosphere again by your heart reaching out to him and him responding to your heart's cry. The atmosphere starts to change around you. Until after a while, it's not possible for Satan to dwell in that atmosphere. And the temptations start falling away. The unforgiveness starts falling away. The disappointment. Because you can't be disappointed in the presence of God.
Amen.
No, you can't hold unforgiveness in the presence of God.
You,
all of those things, they fall away. So circumstances don't mean anything, whether they're natural circumstances, whether they're spiritual circumstances. But where the big discouragement comes in is when we start looking at our own prayers. Because you start realizing, but hey. And friends, it happens to every single person of God. Because who can pray a prayer that's worthy of God? None of us. Every one of us falls short. Like this, our repentance needs repentance. We need to cry over our tears. We need to pray over our prayers.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, it says in Romans, we do not know how to pray as we ought.
Amen.
We don't know how to pray as we ought.
Yeah.
But God sends the Spirit to come and help us in our infirmities.
Amen.
And friends, God has to give us assistance because we are his children. And the moment our heart starts expressing itself to God, all of the divine resources that he stored up on our behalf start to express themselves.
Amen.
You'll say, what resources? Firstly, a great high priest.
Hallelujah.
We can't come directly to the throne of God.
Amen.
We've got to come through a mediator.
Amen.
And there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So here was God who became a man. So he could understand what it's like to be a man. He knew what it was to pray being troubled. He knew what it was to pray while he was on the cross in those kind of circumstances. He knew what it was to pray and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Amen.
Now he's exalted now. Now he's the high priest. He's the mediator between us and man, and God. So he can feel what man feels. And he can represent God to man because of his manhood. He can correctly channel and represent who God is to us.
Amen.
And then he can take what man is, fallen man, because he came and dwelt amongst us and he died for us. He can take fallen man and he can represent him correctly to God.
Amen.
That's why prayers have got to be made in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Otherwise, your prayers are never going to be heard.
My,
but a heart's cry to God made in the name of Jesus is always going to be accepted.
Amen.
Because in all of heaven, there's no other name given among men that men could be saved.
Amen.
And there's no greater name than the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the highest name that was ever given.
Amen.
And if we come in the name of Jesus, we saw it yesterday on the, when you put it on the group, to say that God has such favor towards his son. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And if our prayer comes through heaven, the prophet speaks about it. He says, when our prayers, as you know, just the expression of our heart, we don't have the right things to say, we don't have the right expressions to make, that prayer could never really get before God. But it goes through the blood.
Amen.
It goes through our great high priest.
Amen.
And he takes our prayers. Like in the book of Luke, when Zacharias was the priest standing at the altar of incense in the hour of prayer, the people would pray. But their prayer couldn't get through until what? Until the priest offered the incense.
Amen.
That speaks of the intercession of Christ.
Amen.
And then the prayers of the people would mingle with the sweet fragrance of the incense, which is the intercession of Christ. And now all of a sudden, your broken prayer, you not knowing exactly what to say, it goes through and mingles with the incense of the intercession of Christ.
Amen.
And that comes through the blood. It comes through the other side. Perfect in the sight of God.
Amen.
And God doesn't look at you the way that you are. He looks at you as perfect.
Amen.
And he doesn't look at your prayer just in the human form, but seeing it through that cloud of incense, which is a sweet-smelling fragrance.
Amen.
That prayer that you make before the Lord, no matter how broken it is, no matter how, but if it's made sincerely from your heart, it's acceptable before
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
That's when the Lord says, that's a sweet fragrance
Amen.
To me. Oh, I've got to do something. I've got to go down.
Amen.
I've got to go and help my son. I've got to go and deliver my daughter.
Amen.
You know, Gabriel, go and do this. And Wormwood, go and do that. And he starts sending his servants out on behalf of his people. But friends, there's so many divine resources. There's the blood of Christ.
Amen.
The blood, not the blood of Abel that cried out for revenge. But here's the blood of Christ that cries out for mercy.
Amen.
That says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're saying. And our prayer gets up into the heavenly realm and passes through the blood of Christ. That's why Paul says, we don't know how to pray. But the Holy Ghost, he comes and he starts making intercession according to the will of God. He takes your broken prayer and somehow puts it into the right frame and that comes before the Lord. And the Lord says, my son Greg is speaking to me. You know, there's that song, I don't know if you heard it, called the greatest song of all. It's a wonderful song. I think it's called That. By Brooklyn Tabernacle.
My.
Yeah. It says the greatest song of all is the song of the redeemed.
Amen.
And it says the Lord, he loves to hear the angels singing. And then he loves to hear the sound of the waves breaking on the shore. But you know, and the angels with a great harmony before the throne of God. But the moment the weakest saint or the weakest of the redeemed gets on their knees. And their heart starts being expressed before the Lord. The Lord says to the angel, shh. He quietens everything down because...
Amen.
His favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed.
Amen.
Now, he loves to hear the voice of his children speaking Amen. To him. You know, that's really, really what gets him to me. When the angels fell, he never redeemed them. Now, when their cry came up, the angels have rebelled. He was never moved. But the moment that he heard that Adam, Eve, your children have fallen, God didn't send an angel. He said, I'm going down myself.
Amen.
And he came down into the Garden of Eden to make an atonement for his people. Because there was a cry coming from the soul of Adam, a cry from him. They didn't know how to speak to God anymore. They didn't know how to approach him. But here was the heart's cry of
Amen.
The children of God. They must have realized we're lost. We've separated from God. What can we do? And that so moved the Lord that the Lord himself came down
Amen.
And came and revealed to them the perfection of the atonement.
Amen.
So friends, it's a powerful, powerful thing when you start to think of what God has done for us. Let's read that scripture before we pray from Romans chapter 8, when Paul shows us very, very clearly that none of us know how to pray as we ought. Even Paul didn't know how to pray as we ought. Just left to ourselves. I mean, we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Amen.
Romans 8 verse 26.
Yes, sir.
It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities.
Amen.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for
Amen.
Us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Amen.
And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit,
Amen.
Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Amen.
You know, so when you start to pray and you don't even know what to, then a quickening comes, life starts coming into your prayer, a fervency starts coming into your prayer. That's the Holy Ghost coming now. And he's the divine translator. He'll take your groans, he'll take your broken words, and he pieces them together and presents them according to the will of God. And God doesn't look at what you're saying. God looks at what you are meaning to say. God doesn't look just at what's coming out of your mouth, but he sees the desire of your heart. No, he sees your need. You may not even fully understand your need. You just know the circumstances that you're going through. But you start to pray. You start to groan. You'll get up at the end of your prayer and say, I don't think it was a very good prayer because I never managed to express the way that I felt before the Lord. Amen. That means nothing to the Lord. He himself can interpret exactly what you are trying to say because he searches your heart and he knows what those feelings mean. And he sees the earnestness way down inside of yourself. And he's moved because the Spirit now starts making intercession according to the will of God. So friends, we have so many divine resources. We have so much grace that is given unto us. You will say, but I'm young and I don't know how to pray. Even for you to desire to pray, it means the Holy Ghost has come and done something inside of your heart. And true prayer is simply responding to the Spirit of God. That's what true prayer is. When he speaks to you, you go and speak back to him. If the Lord comes and tells you, you must repent, you're a sinner. What should your heart do? Say, Lord, please forgive me, I'm a sinner. Amen. That's a prayer. Save me, Lord, I'm sinful. What about a Zion the temple? He didn't know how to pray. He saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. He never knew the words to say. But what did he say? Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And that so moved the Lord that the Lord sent the cherubim to come with a call of fire, take away his sins. And put his word inside of his mouth. Amen. And it didn't take a long prayer, but something happened in his prayer. Amen. He went to church backslidden. He went to church discouraged. He got just into that prayer where he spoke what was inside of his heart. Amen. God responded and such a quickening power came inside of his life that when the Lord said, who shall we send and who shall go for us? He says, here am I, send me. Amen. Friends, it doesn't take much to get a child of God back on course. Yes, you don't need to fast for a week. You don't need to fast for 2 weeks. You don't need to spend all night in prayer. Those are good things to do. You get closer and closer to the Lord. It just needs the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man. Amen. Just needs an earnestness. Amen. It just needs a genuineness to lay aside hypocrisy. Don't try to bring big words to the Lord and don't try to polish up your situation. Amen. Just speak to him from your heart. Just say, Lord, woe is me. Lord, I don't want to be in this situation anymore. Lord, I'm not what I'm supposed to be, Lord. Lord, you're the one who redeemed me. Lord, I'm a creature of flesh and blood. I fall short every single day. But Lord, that's why you sent Jesus. That's why you sent someone who lived a perfect life. And Lord, my representation is in him. So Lord, I want to glorify you, but you've got to help me to glorify you. Remember Jesus praying like that. Saying, Father, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. Amen. And that's what we need to be praying to say, Lord, you need to help me here. I can't do this myself. You see my heart's desire, but my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. Lord, I need you to give me the quickening. I need the same cherubim that came down to Isaiah to come and touch me with a coal of fire tonight. Because, Lord, my lips have spoken things I shouldn't have spoken this week. Amen. You know, Lord, my mind has been full of other things, but, Lord, you see the desire of my heart. Amen. So, Lord, hear the voice of my prayer. Lord, hear the voice of my weeping. Lord, hear the voice of my supplication. And, friends, we don't even need to say it because he's already heard it. Amen. Because God doesn't look at the outward. God doesn't look like man looks, but God looks at the inward. Yes. So when you ask yourself, what are the criteria of true prayer? God just wants an honest heart. He just wants a contrite heart. That's all he wants. He just wants you to come honestly. And simple faith. Simple faith. You don't need supernatural big faith. Those things will take care of themselves. But just to believe that Jesus is who that he said that he is. That Jesus is a great savior. That Jesus is your great high priest. Jesus is your friend. That Jesus cares for you. That Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. That Jesus can be touched tonight by the feelings of the burdens of your heart, by the desires that you have inside of yourself, then just express that desire to him. And as you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. As you call upon him, you'll find his presence will start speaking to you. And then go from there. And then whatever he speaks to you, you just do it. Then when you get home and tomorrow in the morning start reading your Bible, the Lord will speak to you in the word. Go and speak his word back to him. The Lord will speak to you, my child. Come, let us reason together.
Hallelujah.
Just go to the Lord. Lord, I want to reason together with you. I don't understand what's happening inside of my life.
Amen.
And then you go and read, and David is saying, Lord, show me the way.
Amen.
Make plain my path because of mine enemies.
Amen.
Then just go and speak that to the Lord. Lord, I need you to show clearly what I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
My enemies are many. The spiritual warfare around me is intense.
Amen.
Lord, I need you to make straight my path. That's prayer, friends. That's prayer. That's prayer. You don't have to doll it up and put special things on top and big words and eloquence. No, God's not interested in those things.
Amen.
Let me finish off and give you one example from the book of Luke. Let's read this one because I think it really does maybe just summarize everything. Luke 18, verse 10. You know, if you and I were there, if this was the prayer meeting at church tonight, and we were in the temple that day and we weren't Jesus, we would have made a big mistake. Because Jesus says in Luke 18, verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. And one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He prayed with himself, you know. And he said, God. Maybe he would have said, if he was in the prayer meeting, oh, great Elohim. You know how people like to pray. Oh, great Elohim, I thank you, Elohim. I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Lord, you know how dedicated that I am. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And friends, we would have said, hey, this is a powerful brother. Hey, 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 hope he continues coming to church. You know? We would have said, let's get this brother to close at the end of the service. Because we look as man looks. We look on the outward.
Amen.
But Jesus says, look, he says, and the publican, standing far off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven,
Amen.
But smote upon his breast. Look at his prayer saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
He didn't even know what to say.
Amen.
He didn't even know anything else. But all that he knew is, I just want to be forgiven. I just want to be delivered from this sin. And friends, which of these prayers moved heaven?
Amen.
Jesus tells us, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified.
Amen.
God responded to the publican's prayer.
Amen.
When he left the prayer meeting that day, he was justified.
Amen.
His sins were under the blood. God had forgiven all the iniquities and evil that he had done. He says, rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased,
Amen.
And he that humbles himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
Yeah, and friends, Jesus is teaching us there about prayer. Prayer is the genuine cry of your heart.
Amen.
It's just speaking to the Lord about your current
Amen.
Situation. No matter what your situation is, speaking to him and God will respond to your prayer.
Amen.
That what prayer is not is what Jesus was saying there. And Jesus said the same thing. This people draw near to me with their lips. They say lots of good things, but their heart is far from me.
Amen.
So he's showing genuine prayer is the expression of your heart. So as and now, friends, long prayer is wonderful. Long prayer is better than short prayer if it's done in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because you can pray for a lot more things if you pray longer.
Amen.
If the spirit of prayer starts getting in you, instead of just praying for yourself at first, you can now start interceding on behalf of other people.
Amen.
You can start praying for Brother Nat and his wedding tomorrow.
Amen.
And you can start praying for Brother Tendai in Zimbabwe. And you can start praying for service on Sunday or at Brother Christian's on Sunday. Now you can start praying for these things. Start praying for the young people that have been baptized. Start praying for the lost all around. Start praying for our evangelists to get out on the streets.
Amen.
You know, start praying for whatever it is that the Lord lays upon your heart. So
Amen.
Long prayers are good as long as they prayed in the Spirit.
Amen.
But it's not necessary
Amen.
For a prayer to be long to be powerful.
Amen.
It's not necessary for a prayer to be eloquent for God to hear.
Hallelujah.
It can be the voice of a three-year-old child who speaks unto the Lord and God will respond because it's prayed from the heart. So let's come before the Lord with these petitions. Saints, you know what's inside of your heart. You know your own desire. But let's never forget, especially young people, what prayer is. Every one of us can pray. Just be honest and sincere. Just pray from your heart. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter your situation. That'll take care of itself. Once genuine prayer gets going, it's a mighty weapon. It's going to take care of all else. Let's just ask brother to come to lead us in a song or two.
Amen.
Let's stand, saints, and then we'll come to pray.
Amen.
So we want to remember Brother Faithful on his trip to the States. I think 6 weeks Brother Faithful is going.
And then Brother Clayton with his new job. Let's pray for the Lord to bless him there. Let's pray for Sunday. Let's pray for Brother Christian down there. And us will be traveling down there and so forth. And Brother George is traveling to Lithuania. Let's remember Brother Virgus and family, then Italy. A lot of people traveled at this time. And whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart.
Having Jesus, all our sins and graves to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often despise, forsake thee. Oh, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there.
Let's all pray, saints. Father, as we come, Lord, upon this night, thank you, Father. Jesus' name, Lord. Let's just sing one chorus. We ask Brother Wilmore to come to close for us to put these petitions before the Lord. Like I said, let's remember Brother Virgus and family in Italy. Brother Tendai is away. Sister Dube, I think she was trying to travel back for the weekend. I'm not sure if she's going to be able to make it. And all the other petitions we've spoken of, the requests, Brother Clayton, Brother Faithful, and whatever else, Brother, that's on your heart. Show me. Oh, please, Lord.
Show tonight, Lord, that Father, every time that we come into your house, you bring something, Lord, to show us the way, Father. Oh God, how the enemy wants to complicate, Lord, and confuse our minds just to keep us from the simplicity of a Christian life. But Father, every time we come into your house, you reveal something to break the powers of the enemy. And tonight, Lord, you have brought down a stronghold in the preaching of the word. For you have shown us, Lord, that it is the heart that you look at, O Father. So we want to come, Lord, with our hearts bowed before you, Lord, in simple faith, Lord, believing your word, that what you have said you will do, O Father. Lord, O God, what you have promised, you will perform. And Father, we are basing our faith on that tonight. And you said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and come before you, you hear from heaven and heal the land. And so, Father, we come tonight, Lord, in the simplicity, Lord, of our testimony, Lord, that we believe in you, asking, Lord, on the behalf of thy people, that you would have mercy, Lord, upon each and every request, Lord, that your people may have in their hearts tonight. We pray, Father, for our brother Faithful as he travels, Lord, to America for a little period. Oh, God, if it was in our own plan, Lord, we would have desired for him to stay, Father, oh God, here in Ireland, Lord. But Father, oh God, in your wisdom, you have made him to pass by Samaria, Lord. Peradventure, there's someone there, Lord, that Father, you have sending your son. So we pray, Lord, that as he goes, you will prosper his way. You help him there, Lord. You protect him, oh God, and that you bring him back safely. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Faithful and the work he has done in our midst, Lord. Oh, God, to humble himself and be used to bless the children in our midst, to bless us, Lord. We thank you for him, Lord. Keep him safe, Lord, until he is back in our midst, Lord. We commit him into your hands. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for our brother Clayton, Lord, thanking you for opening this door for him, Lord. Oh, God, you knew from the foundation of the world that this will come to pass. And we are thanking you, Father, as our brother goes to Trinity College, that you bless him, Lord, that, Father, you help him, oh, God, in the career that he is taking. Let there be testimonies, Lord, that when he walked into the room, the evil spirits departed and that there was a calm. Lord, we pray this be, Lord, Father, the testimony of his career from the day that he begins studying until, Lord, the day that you hang his boots, Lord. Amen. Father, may you go with him and bless him
him all the days of his life. We commit, Lord Father, not only Brother Clayton, but all these other young ones at college. We pray for them, Lord, that you help them in their careers as they honor you. Lord, may you work with them, Lord, and show your difference for each and every one of them, Father. We pray for our brethren that are not here with us tonight, remembering Sister Dube in Zimbabwe. Lord, we commit her into your hands. Our brother Tendai there in Zimbabwe, we pray for him. Lord, that you help him and his family, that Father, he may come back with all his children, Lord, that the family unit may be together. Lord, even as he stands in the gap, representing us tomorrow at the wedding, oh God, we want to commit our brother Nat and his bride, Lord, into your hands. Bless this wedding, Lord. Bless this union. Oh God, may it be an example unto so many in this world that are failing, oh God. We pray every arrangement will just work together, Lord, that Father, there may be testimony. Father, as you had a testimony for our brother Kwame and his wedding, let this wedding be so, Lord. Even for Sister Nicoletta in Zimbabwe, may you also grant grace unto her, Father. Lord, even our Sister Noella, as she will travel, Lord, Father, we pray and commit it to you that you may bring her safely to the country and back home as you did for Brother Eli, Lord. Father, we are thankful for these things. Thank you for bringing Sister Patience and Brother Mike safely home to Malawi, Lord, for the burial of their father. We pray for the arrangements, Lord, that they may go well, oh Father, and that your name may be glorified, and that many will come, Lord Father, to the knowledge of thy saving grace through the funeral of one of thy servants. Father, we commit them into your hands. Lord, we pray for the program on Sunday. Lord, oh God, may you bless, Lord, every brother, every sister that will attend. Oh God, bring them safely to the place, and that you bring them back home safely. We pray, Father, you bless our brother Krishan, Lord, on his anniversary, on his birthday. Lord, we commit all these into your hands, Father. Bless now, Lord, even our brother Vegas in Italy with the family. May you give them a good rest, Lord, for all the labor, Lord, that he takes, Lord, in the house of the Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, you renew his strength, Lord, and bring him back home safely. Bless also our brother George as he would go, Lord, to Lithuania with the family. Lord, we commit them into your hands. Oh God, we await more and more songs that he shall write, Lord, oh God, as he takes some rest there, Lord. May you give him a good rest in thee, oh God, and inspire him, Lord, that when he comes back, Father, we may bring our worship to a higher level. We commit, Lord, Father, our pastor to you, thanking you, Lord, for bringing him safely back from Serbia, Lord, and all the testimonies, Lord, that would come from there. We want to give you the glory. Renew now his strength, Lord, Father, for standing in the post of duty tonight. Lord, we commit him into your hands, Lord, and we pray for the remainder, Lord, Father, of the requests in the hearts of your children. Thou knowest, Lord, what each and every one of us here would desire. May you grant it, Lord. Keep us safe, Father, until we meet again. We commit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen, saints. God bless you richly. Yes, just for Sunday, we know there's so many people away and also so many people traveling down to Brother Christian and Sister Mummy's event. So we won't have a service here on Sunday, saints. We'll be live streaming the service from down there. It'll be starting 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock p.m. That's down. It's actually closer to Limerick than it is to Cork. It's not far from Limerick, but 30 minutes. So please do keep us in prayer, everybody who's traveling there. And may it be a great success. Like Brother Wilmore is praying, Brother Christian's a great blessing. He's a good friend. We've been together with him right from the beginning here, just about. He was one of the first people we met in Dublin. And that was one of the first weddings we ever had, was their wedding. I think it's that or Brother Francois, one of the two. So it's really quite a privilege to go down there for his 50th birthday, for the anniversary. Yeah? Brother Jose was first, that's right. In the December, then Brother Christian was just a few months later. So it's a great, great honor to go down there. Let's keep it in prayer. May it be a blessing. It's a time for celebrating. We're so sad for our sister Patience. And it's just a cycle of life. You'll find you come from a funeral
And then you'll have, there'll be a baby dedication, and then there'll be someone celebrating their 50th birthday. Then you get another funeral. It's just really the cycle of life. But the good thing is the Lord is with us in all of them. That's the wonderful thing. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. When you get to the graveside of one you love, Pastor Msimange was a blessed man. He was with us here some years back. We had a wonderful time of fellowship with him. And when you stand at the graveside, we just need to remember, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So he's gone for his reward, and may it be a great reward. And we'll meet our brother soon. So may the Lord really comfort the family, help the sons as well. May the Lord speak through this to his sons, so that they come back to walk with the Lord once again. But we pray for our sister, we pray for Brother Mike. May the Lord really bless and be with them. May they be a blessing while they are there. So saints, also thank you for your prayers for going to Serbia. Many greetings from many saints there, from Hungary, Serbia, from Croatia. The saints were telling me, Brother Sasha is the apostle for Croatia. Where is he these days? Many greetings for Brother Vlad and family from many of the saints. Some came from Germany, some came from Slovenia, Romania. So it was really wonderful meeting the saints. It was hot. We're glad to get back, and we thank the Lord. But it was a blessed time. Thank you for your prayers. Let's dismiss with whatever you have, Brother George, and safe journey home, and God bless you. Lead me,
I will go, for I have learned to trust Him so, and I remember 'twas for me that He was slain on Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. For He is the truest of friends to me. I delight in His command. I'm loved to be led by His dear hand. Oh, His divine will is sweet to me. Hallowed by blood-stained Calvary, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Oh, Jesus shall lead me all the way. For He is the truest of friend to me. For I remember Calvary. Onward I go, no doubt, no fear. Oh, I'm happy with Christ, my Savior near, and trusting that I someday shall see Jesus, my friend of Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. For He is the truest of friend to me. For I remember Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day, and Jesus shall Calvary.